everybody. Welcome to the bonus episode. We're doing American Horror Stories, Season 2, Episode 2. It's a bonus episode, so I assume you already know who we are. If not, hey, great, thanks. I appreciate you the most.
Thank you,
I'm supporting somebody today. Yeah.
Godspeed, Mr. Beast. Thanks for the $5,000 a month subscription or whatever. Oh, that's manifesting, brother. All right. So
speaking it into existence.
We did Season 2, Episode 2 of American Horror Stories because just at mentioning the idea of doing stories with these two ding-dongs, both of their eyes lit up in just a magnificent way. So I let them go ahead and decide what episode we were doing. And Beef, you picked a real winner for us, bud. You picked Aura, which is a play on Ring, yes. I guess. Like the doorbell. It's an episode about doorbell.
Yeah. They couldn't even, like, when they were coming up with, like, a fake name for, like, a fake Ring doorbell, they didn't even, like, consider that Ring doorbell. They were like, no, we can't possibly make another doorbell pun. We're just going to name it something different entirely.
There's a lot of places I think you could go to in a horror story about, like, Ring doorbells and horror and things like that, and it doesn't, like, go anywhere good.
Okay, okay. Ring is kind of taken. I'll give them that. The term, like, right. Ring or the Ring, that there's one of those, right? Like, you can't do that and not have Sadako. Like, that's spooky little lady got to be there, or we got an issue.
Well,
what about, like, Taurus? Like, I don't know. Like, just like another word for. I guess they were going for Aura just because it's got, like, ghost stuff.
I guess.
Associated? Yeah, I'm...
I mean, and you know, so American Horror Stories, which I'm not sure if the bonus folks will know what that is off the top, you know, but just in case it's like a little...
Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, this is a Hulu exclusive spinoff. They contracted the American Horror Story people, God knows why, to make this, this spinoff show, which is basically... Whereas in Horror Story, every season is its own, like, big story. Now, in Stories, every episode is, like, a small vignette. You'll usually only have, like, one person from the main cast tops and maybe, like, a celebrity. But, like, it's usually, it's usually these one-off stories. They're not great. I'll even say Aura is definitely not where I'd put bottom-tier American Horror Stories, you know, but it's pretty low. I think the only thing else is worth mentioning is that, you know, like, there's this opening vignette to, or opening, like, kind of montage, like, you know, theme song thing that each season has. And I'll say that they put an effort in that every episode of Stories has its own little, like, theme with, like, its own video montage. But then also, this one in particular, like, the theme was, like, it was very purple, which is, like, the Aura video screen. And it was pretty well done, in my opinion, except I do think it leaned a lot on the Ring. Like, there was, like, kind of stuff in there that they'd flash to where I'm like, isn't that, like, a woman with long hair? That kind of thing. But, like, you know, like, yeah. So, it's not perfect, but I will say that's usually the best part, and I agree that I think that's the best part of this episode is the theme part of it. But, anyhow...
I agree. The opening was actually, for American Horror Story standards, the opening was, if nothing else, it was at least it made sense for what happened in the episode, whereas a lot of other ones, like, for example, Cult, where he's holding the dead dog, like, is this anything?
Yeah.
This is kind of nothing. This one starts with it seems like a commercial, and it is a commercial. It's just very short. There's, like, a voiceover guy, and it's this lady, and she's doing homework with her daughter, and then someone rings the... Okay, so this really bothered me. Someone rings the doorbell, which is, like, across the room from her. She, like, looks over her shoulder and goes, "Who is it?" And I'm like... In no universe is that how you respond when somebody rings your doorbell across the house. Like,
in a suburban neighborhood in particular. Yeah. Right. Like, no, Do you think they have like a megaphone? what do you want here, lady?
Yeah, like go check your peephole, but she doesn't. She's like, "Who is it?" And then starts to walk towards the door. I need to emphasize there is a giant window next to the door, and a peephole in the door. But she doesn't check either of those things. She instead just opens it, and then an intruder kicks open the door, and then shoots her. This could be easily avoided if she would have just looked through the peephole or out of the window. And I'm also not 100% clear on why the intruder rang the doorbell. That doesn't seem like something a home intruder would normally do.
I'm not sure what this crime is the other thing, right?
It's like, it's almost like a comedy sketch, this crime. Like the, you wouldn't.
Yeah. It's like The Aristocrats. Like, it's just as violent as possible for no discernible reason, right? Like, it's just like, what was the crime? Oh, he was just Navy sealing into people's houses and killing them and then leaving.
Because like, doing violence.
What? Why? I don't know. He was just doing it.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
He go ahead.
I was going to say a ring doorbell wouldn't have stopped it because she didn't even bother checking the people. So she wouldn't have looked at the ring doorbell either.
It's a tech.
And also, like, if that guy wanted in, he probably would have just kicked the door in anyway, or the window next to it, for example.
Yeah. No, it's awful, and like, because it is like it's wacky how violent this crime is. Because he like knocked her down, he points the gun at the kid, like he's shooting the kid, which is like, why are you even doing that? And like, it's like it's worse than a real ring commercial. Because peepholes fix this, like deadbolt. You know what I mean? Like, even the people
it's a very biblical crime, the way they do it. Like, killing the children as well for no discernible reason. Like, that's some Bible shit. So, yep. I guess I can.
Also,
I guess they're going for their demographic correctly.
Like, I feel like there's something because I was thinking about this while I was watching it, because I was, like, really, like, getting heated about the way that certain people were reacting to, like, the not ring doorbell going off. We should establish now whether or not we agree or whether we have different policies. So if somebody I don't know, I have a ring camera. If someone rings my ring camera doorbell or it just sets off my cameras, I always check my phone. If it's someone I do not recognize, I do not engage with them. I do not like answer it. I do not go to the door. Like, maybe that's because I'm, like, a young female, like, that's just, like, self-preservation. But even if it's, like, the middle of the day and they're just, like, knocking on my door, I don't answer it. If it's someone I don't know, I don't answer the door. Like, that's just not something that I would, like, nothing they have for me is something I need. Because it's not someone I expected to come to my door. If it's not someone I had planned to come to my house, I'm not answering the door. I'm not even going to let them know I'm home.
Yeah. Like, I'm in an apartment complex, so I usually will, just because, like, there's a pretty good chance. Like, as long as it's, you know, like, the middle of the day or whatever. Because it might just be one of the complex people, like, doing some kind of inspection or, you know, maintenance thing or whatever. So, like, I'll usually answer it. Also, because I'm huge, you know, I'm imposing as hell. So, like, it's fine. I'm usually fine on that front. But, yeah, like, the idea of, like, answering over the thing is just bizarre to me. Like, I'm going to engage with you just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's, you know, I get that American Horror Story is like, I think they're kind of doing it a bit tongue-in-cheek in the sense they want to convince you this is just a regular old Ring commercial and maybe we'll make you laugh a little, but it's odd. I will say, too, just we're talking about our own Ring experiences and stuff. I feel like this episode had potential because I am in, like, a suburban house and I have, like, a backyard camera in the front door. And, yeah, it sets off even when you set your motion zones and all that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, occasionally, especially because I stream late at night and things like that, you get that, like, buzz on your phone, like, you know, something's in your backyard at 2 in the morning. And you know after a long time, you're like, well, it's like, nothing or a what. But, like, just that once in a while, you're like, And I'm like, okay, this has some potential. Spoiler alert, it doesn't meet that potential. Anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I even say in one of my notes later, I'm like, yeah, if you have one of these cameras, you know. Sometimes that bitch goes off for no reason. Like, it's just like, ah, I thought there was motion. My bad, there wasn't.
Yep.
I think the thing they messed up with this is, like, the tale you could tell doesn't need to be supernatural here. Mm-hmm. That, you know how like cult like isn't supposed to be paranormal at all?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like why it at least has some intrigue is that it's all grounded.
Mm-hmm.
This one they were just like, nah. Nah. Yeah. What if this time it's all bullshit? We made it up.
You know what? Yeah, like,
it felt like a Beyond Belief episode. You're so right.
You know what it felt like to me is, you know the trope when the person who's not a chef is in the kitchen and they lose the ingredients or spill something and they're like, a dash of this, a little bit of that. Yep. And that's what this is like. How about a little bit of that movie, The Eye? Not the Korean version, the U.S. version, though, with what's her face, you know? And, okay, how about a tiny bit of The Ring? And you know what I mean? And it, like, it doesn't taste right at the end, and you know it was all
also the character from I Think You Should Leave, who was the guy who was crying like a baby on the airplane because he wanted to go make the guards in London laugh, but he was too tired because it was a baby crying on the plane.
Oh yeah,
because that's the first villain of this episode, as a heads up. It's that guy one-to-one. It's mm-hmm. amazing.
So, like this episode also, I should say, because we're about to meet her, stars one person from the ensemble cast, who is Gabri Sidibe, who she kind of rose to stardom from the movie Precious, which is like Requiem for a Dream, an amazing movie that will just wreck your whole week. It's incredibly sad, so, you know, you've been warned, but she's really good in it. And so any issues I have with her performance in this, I blame it lay entirely on the feet of the direction and writing of American Horror Stories. But that said, I think she did pretty good.
You know? I would go as far as to say it would be unwatchable if she was not the person playing the main character. Like, right. Truly. Yeah.
In particularly poorly written scenes, I think she has the, like, the chops and the awareness to bring, like, a Nick Cage watchability to it.
Yeah.
Where sometimes she will very intentionally, like, overdo it in a very funny way. That's, like, fun to behold. Purely because she is aware, wow, this is rough. This is rough stuff. Yep. I better make this scream extra funny. And, like, throw a pot or whatever.
Yep. She plays Jazlyn. Jasly. Let's see here. So, yeah, so we go from this commercial to, like, this, like, Radio Shack kind of place where she's looking at the aura, which is basically the ring, you know, and contemplating, like, should I purchase it, you know, which I'm like, where did you see the commercial then? Was it on, like, a TV there or something? Or I don't know. But some guy then just goes, like, I'm thinking about buying a ring of Nora. I'm going to call it the ring, like, 8 times in this, you know. And he just basically like sales pitches her on it, and she's like, I'm sorry, who are you? Kind of, you know, like, or excuse me. He's like, yep, now my wife and I sleep like babies, and it's great. So
he's like a weird scam plant. Like, he's like the guy you have in the 3-card Monty who like wins in finger quotes beforehand before the next person walks up, and then is like, oh nice, if that guy won, that looked easy, I could win too, and then you fuck him. You know, like, that was this guy, and that's absolutely what he did. Like, he just set this lady up to have a horrible month.
Yep. And we're going to find
out. It's cheap. He says that it's cheap, which is such a weird thing to say, because she's looking at, like, the price tag.
Especially when we later on find out it is $200, which is not. Mm-hmm. I would not describe anything that's $200 as cheap. Unless it was like a car or a boat or something.
He's like, oh, look, he sees her looking at the price tag, and he's like, oh, that's cheap. And I'm like, it would be if this was a security system, but this is just the camera. The camera is not $200. Like,
the camera, yeah. And the app, we'll find out later, right? Where you can watch it on your phone, which is like, whatever. But it's absolutely not. Like, but she puts it in her shopping cart, and then we get our title sequence, I think, there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I looked it up, by the way, a name brand ring from Best Buy. So the most MSRP ass deal you're going to get on that in America is $99.99. Mm-hmm. So it is $100, mm-hmm. which is so saying is cheap at $200 may in fact be bullshit.
The other thing too is, like, Ring also, what they do is they do the video game or the loss leader thing where it's like they kind of undercut mm-hmm. the equipment a little bit, or and their profits come from like the Protect plan that lets you save your videos for $10 a month or whatever, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, or save them longer
the DLC. The home safety DLC. Yeah.
That's usually loss how that leading, goes, right?
Loss leading security for a subscription service, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we'll keep it for like a week, or I forget it, honestly. But, you know, so... yeah, so we go back to Jasmine's home now. Jasmine's home now, where she's in a gated community. Which, like, then is already like, huh, I guess she's, like, you know, really paranoid about all this stuff, whatever. But we're going to find out about that. And her husband, Bryce, oh boy. you know, he's none too thrilled about this, because he's like, we live in a gated community, and $200, that's not cheap. That's...
Yeah, I feel like you should have, like, pulled out your phone and seen how much things cost.
Yeah, right.
Also, like, that's the kind of, they're moving in. Like, they are in the process of moving into the home.
Yeah.
Like, I've moved into many a home with other people. Like, buying a home security system, not that weird. Like, he treats it like she bought, like, a $200, like, statue or something. Like, something that, like, you wouldn't expect to, like, buy when you're moving in. And he is just losing his shit. Also, they live, like, the gated community is a very, like, nice, like, an affluent community. With a security patrol. So, like, they don't appear to be hurting for money in any capacity. But he is very upset about it.
They later on claim that, like, it was pushing the limits of their budget to move there, and she was like, oh, well, don't worry, my Etsy shop is gonna get started up, which, don't worry, the Etsy shop arc, which shows up a few times and goes nowhere.
Well, here's what I love is, too, they actually have pieces of a good story here, maybe, or a good setup, because Jasmine has some, you know, trauma in her life that she's afraid that she wants, like, a lot of security. So you're like, okay, this is all fitting together. And American Horror Stories, like, brings it up with, like, what Bryce is like, look, you can't keep getting paranoid about being scared. I know you have some childhood trauma. And he just, like, lays it out like that, where you're like, all right, that's not a natural progression. But, like, get over it or something. I forget what he says. It's a totally, like...
American Horror Story loves to have, like, especially husband characters, be like, hey, wife, remember your trauma? Let me explain your trauma to you so the audience knows what your trauma is. And it's like, nobody does that. And if they did, they'd get punched in the face. Like, literally, right? Being like, hey, would you like to relive the worst thing that ever happened to you? Well, do I have great news. I'm going to bring it up in explicit detail right now for no reason. Like, they love doing that as a plot device, and I don't understand why.
Well, the good
news
is, they now have an interesting hook of what happened to Jaslyn, which they can slowly unfurl over the course of, just kidding, they're going to show us what it is right now.
Yep, and it's brief, because Jaslyn's just like a kid, like, young Jaslyn's asleep in her bed, and some guy in a bunny mask is there, and he holds up his finger like, shh, and then... she, like, puts the blankets over her because she's scared, and he goes and just shoots her parents. That's it. There you go.
Yeah. Two very important points.
It's so funny to think about, like, RPGs and stuff that have similar plot beats, but they set up, like, the setup and the payoff of what happened, like, 30-plus hours apart. And in this, it's just like, bing, bang, boom, there you go. Get out of here. You know what happened.
You got shit to do. I got shit to do. Let's just cut to the chase.
Look, whatever. The orphanage burned down. Big whoop. Places to be, man.
I like to think, too, that's maybe Bryce's retelling of it. And she's like, no, that's not what happened at all. And he just kept going.
Oh my god.
Like, were you even listening, like, to my trauma? All right, well.
And the thing is, it's one scene that shows a flashback, and it's a very clear flashback. It's not like, oh, well, maybe other stuff happened too. Like, no, bunny guy breaks in, she puts the blanket over her head, literally immediately right after, bang bang, her mom screams, and I'm assuming they're dead. That's it. That's like the simplest backstory, period. And they manage to, in a little while, fuck that up. They fuck it up in their own timeline in like 10 minutes. They forget about it.
The show-ups, I love it.
it's great. Also, in case you're wondering, no, they don't ever explain who that was, why they were wearing a mask, or
oh my god. And I think it's, is it supposed to be that the ring, the Aura commercial reminds her of it because that's kind of what happened, where some random dude just comes in and shoots them for no reason?
Maybe. I assume so, because if in the opening sequence there's also some scenes that are very similar to that, where there's a home invasion with people with guns and they just start shooting right away. So I'm assuming that's what they want us to do.
Yeah, but I don't mean that in a oh my gosh way. I mean that in a they're doing that. Yeah. All right, whatever kind of way. Because
100%. Also, yeah. Again, like the bunny mask meant nothing. It was just like, how can we make this home invasion worse? I don't know. Give the dude a bunny mask, I guess. Like,
I don't know. Have the clowns punch through the glass and try and get through the door to the door handle. What's the most generic spooky thing I can think of? Yeah, like that's what they did here too. Yeah, like, 100%.
Spoiler alert: like a bunny mask never comes into play later. If in case you're wondering, like that's not a thing later. Like they never catch like a dude with a bunny mask. That's not a thing that happens.
It 1000% feels like, do we have any props around? We have to like shoot in like 5 minutes. Like I got a bunny mask.
God, I'm just thinking, what if at the very end of this, they could have had one more great reveal that would have been stupid and over the top, but it would have rocked of if at the very end, and we'll get there, if at the very end, the final character showed up in a bunny mask and then took it off. That would be
Of
course, they can't even complete their damn plots.
They could have tied the bunny mask in a number of ways, and we'll discuss that later, but they just don't. They just don't. They never do. It's just, 20 years ago, the dude who shot her parents was wearing a bunny mask for some reason. Hee-hee, bye. So in case you're wondering, that is her that is her trauma. And that's the end of that scene. Now it's back in the present. This is it's very weird because this is a very linear episode aside from that one flashback, which I am not used to with American Horror Story. This is it's a treat in some ways, but also very, disorienting for me, who was expecting 50 flashbacks for, continuity's sake, but we did not get any. But they're unpacking the house and it's like a montage of them unpacking. Also, I need to make this clear, and I'm sure that both Ty and Beef will agree with me. It is clear from moment one that Bryce is on the screen that he is the worst human being alive. Just like truly worst TM. Just truly the most awful man.
He sucks. Sucks bad.
Bryce blows.
Yeah.
He's one of those, the thing that makes him particularly bad is he's one of those people that's extra shitty, but like acts like he's not shitty. Because like some people like Vinny Ravioli, they're like, I'm a shitty guy. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Bryce is not like that. Bryce is like, I'm a very smart man who gaslights my wife. And also everything is fine. And I'm a good person. Truly the worst kind of man.
He just stinks.
Yeah,
like, the worst.
I think it might have been Beef who was legitimately confused towards the end of the episode of, wait, are they married? Were they supposed to be married? Because like he is actively so shitty to her the whole time that them being married is legitimately kind of unbelievable.
It's like
it's like. They're not only like with the way that they act, but like it's also a weird like couple in like general, not because like, I don't know, not because like their stories are so different and like she's obviously quite traumatized and he's a huge asshole. But like he looks significantly older than her and just like a person who like wouldn't interact with somebody with like anxiety. Like he seems like he'd have like a trophy wife who just is like very laid back and reserved. But she's like, no, I have my Etsy shop and like I've got a lot of trauma and baggage and I want to live in like a gated community. Like, he's weirdly accommodating for someone that he appears to hate. Like, it's very odd. It's a very odd pairing.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes it, right? It's just like he is doing so many concessions, even to his own admission, where he's like, I have to drive like an extra hour and a half to and from work every day now because of the move here, and it costs more, and all this. Like, it doesn't make sense for his character because everything we know now and everything we learn in the future indicates he would simply have not done that.
Yeah, 100%. You got to get over this. Sorry. You know what I mean? That's the Bryce real answer to this.
Bryce
would have bought the Ring camera and put it on their old place and not moved.
Yes. 100%.
And if they had done that, that would have made the story more interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or like, and it could make more sense.
Or like, it could come across like he kind of resents her for having moved here, or he's like mad at her or paranoid or something. But instead, he just seems like he always was a douchebag, because he seems like kind of happy with her. Like, they seem to like try to have fun in these scenes when they're unpacking, and he's moving the books back where she wants to move them. And then, you know, at one point they kind of like, hello, Miss Lady, you're on the stairs, kind of like have that romance scene before, darn, I have to get back to work, which I know is happening later, but it's just like one of those annoying, like, kind of like rom-com-y kind of tropes, you know, that like, whatever.
Leading into that scene is also fucking infuriating, which we'll get there, because that scene in and of itself has so many infuriating aspects.
Yeah. So back in the present, they do a little bit of unpacking, and then Bryce...
Oh, it's this scene, like, actually. It's this
scene.
Yeah.
Knocks on her door. Yeah, knocks on the door. And then she checks the Ring camera app on her phone, and it's a guy in a hoodie. And then she opens it up because it's clearly her husband. And then he goes, I'm here for the home invasion. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
like, it's a funny prank where I was pretending like I was going to kick open the door, tell you to hide under the covers, put a bunny mask on, and then kill your parents.
Yeah, right.
What a funny hee-haw prank to play on my wife.
It's so funny. It's so fucking funny to remind you of that time someone like it's. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with this guy?
It sucks.
He makes a blatant joke about her trauma and then tries to turn it into like weird like RP foreplay.
Yeah.
For them to bang. That's what's so like gross, is he's like, I'm gonna make a joke about my wife's trauma and specifically scare her by pretending to be someone else at the door doing a home invasion. And then I'm gonna try and bang my wife.
And she's like, she's wife of the year, because she's like, all right, maybe this could be, you know, we'll hook up a little high. I don't love it, but all right, you know. And then he goes, oh, they need me back at the office. And this was written by someone who's never worked in an office or whatever, because he's like, I have to go back to my notes here, because I wrote this down. I was so mad at what he was mad at us, because he's in charge of a new team, right? And his new team is like, oh my gosh, the workstations are cluttered, there's wrong headers on the reports, and the emails aren't formatted correctly. Which is like, what the hell are you, like, what do you do in your job that is actually the big problem?
Damn, that sounds like a Monday problem.
Yeah, right?
That sounds like
not a drive an hour to the office. Yeah.
Yeah, not I need to drive to the fucking office. Oh no, the headers, bro.
I know. Right?
The emails are formatted wrong. They just needed an excuse for him to not be home, which is 100%. Like, the thing is, like, American Horror Story, it's not just this show, or it's not just this season, and it's not just this episode. They love to give too much information to try and, mm-hmm. like, lend gravity to stuff, but it always ends up making things not make sense. They could have, like, just not explained it. If they would have just been like, oh, I have to go to the office. That was it. That's all they needed to do.
The doctor.
Yeah.
You know, like, it could have been like, I need to go. The hospital needs me. I'm the only heartologist.
Yeah.
They need me in there.
But they're like, headers and the emails. Like, you're not making me believe this more. In fact, you're just raising more questions.
Doctors, and it'd be like, okay, he's stressed, he's overworked, so being pressed for more time could be pretty infuriating, you know? But no, he's just a guy who does email.
By the way, you know, it's a really easy way of, like, telling someone you got to fix the format in your email? Shoot him an email. Like, you don't have to go in to be like, what the hell are you doing on this computer? And this workstation's so cluttered.
Can you imagine if your supervisor drove an hour and a half to the office just to tell you you formatted your email wrong? I would quit. I would quit immediately if I found out that my supervisor drove an hour and a half instead of just texting me or calling me or emailing me to fix that. Like, that is absolute sociopath behavior. Like, this is it more so came across like he was looking for an excuse to get away from his wife than it did like him actually leaving for a valid reason.
And they make a comment, like, something like, you're going to make it sound like that woman I fired. I forget how they put it. It's like, the woman I fired who thought I was OCD, which is like half of these, like, lines he says should have a laugh track by them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, ridiculous that I have to sit here and be insulted like this, American Horror Story. But,
all right,
yeah.
So... Next scene. Next
yeah,
scene.
Sorry. Okay.
It's nighttime. It's okay. Now.
We just,
I hate Bryce.
We do have to
sorry,
start
yeah.
moving a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nighttime.
Yeah. You're right.
She's working on her jewelry for her Etsy shop. Don't worry, this doesn't matter. The Ring camera goes off. She checks the app, and there is, like, no one there, which, yeah, again, everyone I know who has one of these cameras, or as someone who lived in a place with a motion-activated porch light,
yep,
they go off if it's a little windy sometimes.
Yep.
It's just, it just happens. It's not spooky. And so, yeah, she calls, she says hello to the front door and then opens it instead of just being like, oh, it was nothing. She's just like, huh, must be a serial killer. Well, better open it.
Yeah, better see.
So she opens the door, goes outside, and a raccoon, like, knocks over a trash can and does what I can only describe as, like, a Monster Hunter roar. Like, it literally, yeah, it staggers her. Like, she, like, falls over and is like, oh, my God.
It staggered me. I was not expecting the raccoon to scream. I was like, holy shit.
It's not a noise a raccoon can make, so I don't...
or would make if they could, if they like wanted to. Like, it was seriously like a T-Rex. Some, like,
yeah, it was like a bald eagle screech mixed with like a squirrel chirp, like, something like that.
And then it like destroys the trash and runs away. I'm like, damn, that's a raccoon on methamphetamines. Like,
beautiful.
Yeah, I also should mention here, the sound mixing in this episode is atrocious. Like, they went for cinematic range, which means sometimes I can't hear what's going on unless I boost my whole setup by 12 decibels. Mm-hmm. And then other times I have it boosted by 12 decibels and a raccoon kills me instantly.
Yep.
That's what happened to me too. Like, I had it up so loud and then it played the raccoon scene and I almost threw up. It startled me so bad. I was like, holy shit, what the fuck was that? Because it's not even like it was like a thematic sting or something, like the music did a sting. No, they made the raccoon make this noise so loud. Yeah. And all I can think of, like, after it happened, I'm like, so did the whole neighborhood hear that? The whole neighborhood had to hear that, because that was the loudest raccoon in all of history.
And like, yeah,
it screamed and then ran the fuck away.
It's not even like a good jump scare. You know what I mean? It's like, don't pretend you're not above a jump scare, American Horror Story. It's like, not even for a second.
Oh shit, is that a Tigrex?
I need the fangs for my weapon.
So she goes back inside and goes, whoo, loud raccoon. And then, yeah, there's another notification on the Ring. And this time it is, as you've described it, as Uncle Fester from the Addams Family, which is also a pretty good pick. And he has literally the same hairstyle, like the completely bald on top, but decided to like let a ring, like a monk's ring, grow out. It's,
yeah, it's
only used for horror villains. No,
and
actual
he's wearing
human
a Michael Myers jumpsuit, which is exclusively reserved for either high school janitors. Spoiler. Or someone who's going to murder you. In this case, maybe a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And he's got like weird sunken in eyes and he's staring directly into the Ring camera, like eye contact staring into it, which again, there are many times I will not answer my my camera. If you're staring directly into it, definitely not answering it.
Right, yeah.
Sicko behavior. Absolutely sicko behavior. he knows her name, because he's calling her name and is like asking her to open the door. He's talking in like this kind of like weird, almost
open
sing song.
Open the door, my sweet Jasmine.
Yep.
Jasmine, yeah.
Please just open
Jasmine,
the door.
I just want to see you, Jasmine.
I know you can't hear me, but I know you can hear me somehow. I understand Ring even from beyond the grave, but you know, fine.
Yeah.
I've kept up with technology. Yeah.
And he is like, he's just repeating this. He's kind of nonsensically repeating this. And instead of like her immediately being like, holy shit, and calling the police, she engages with him. No, absolutely not. If someone,
right.
whack jobs on my front porch in the middle of the night saying my name over and over again, I'm not going to ask him what he wants.
And asking you to open the door.
Yeah.
And pounding on the door and turning the handle. Yeah.
I would simply call the police, which she doesn't do until later.
Right.
She instead asks him what he wants, instead of A, why he knows her name, or B, just calling the police.
Yeah.
So she like talks to him, and he just kind of keeps repeating the same stuff over and over again and is like really weirdly softly pounding on the door. And then she's like, I'm going to call the police. And he starts singing. She calls the police because he just doesn't leave. And then she's like, you got to get to my house, and then ends the call. I'm like, well, maybe you should have given them an address. That feels like it was probably relevant, but who cares? It doesn't matter because the police show up either way. I guess the police know. Also, the husband brings up many times about the security guy who drives around that they allegedly pay for. That dude never shows up. You'd think that that would be like, you'd think that the police would be like, hey, security for this gated community, can you go maybe be like a first responder and check out this scene of the crime? Nope, they're not. He's not here. We gotta wait for the police. The police show up, and now it's the next scene.
I love this scene so much. Because the police, of course, like, hey, shouldn't your aura have been recording this? Nah, it didn't record anything. We don't have anything. And then, like, this scene, I'm gonna say it almost jokey, like this is a little parody of the scene, but it's not that much different, because Juan, the neighbor, walks in and goes, hey, I'm Juan, your neighbor. I see there's a lot of police. Just so you know, I put a security camera on top of my garage, and it happened to have pointed at your house. And I have the recording with me. If you want, I can just put it on my TV right now, and we can see who is at your front door. And then, like, and you're like, oh, okay, thanks for that, Juan. And it, like, really is this weird thing. Like, why did you just walk in? How did you know that would be, like, helpful or relevant? But I guess they got to keep things moving, so that's kind of what happens. And, of course, very predictably, he puts up the footage, which is, like, this super clear centered view of their front door.
Only their house, by the way. Just the neighbor's house. No other, like, not
even.
Not Juan's house.
Not the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the lawn of their own house, not the porch, not the street, just the other house. Yeah, it's, like, clearly, like, he's spying on you. But this isn't relevant. Don't worry about it. Everyone's cool with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody brings it up. I mean, could it have been that much more effort to point the camera, like, a little left, like, in post-pro... You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
So I have a theory about this. I have a theory, because we know from experience that American Horror Story writers love to, like, pull from real-life events.
Uh-huh.
There is that very, very infamous murder... that happened in recent years, where, like, the husband murdered his wife and his two daughters and, like, buried them in, like, a septic tank or something, but then was pretending to help look for them. A very key element of that was highly publicized, because this was a highly public case, was that the neighbor had Ring footage cameras Ring camera footage of the husband's truck leaving in the morning, and that ended up being, like, but the thing was, there is a scene, or there is footage of the husband from the police's, like, point of view, they're like chest cam, watching the footage with them, being like, oh, that's weird, like, my truck being gone, that's weird, that wasn't me. And, like, that was footage that was blasted all over the internet of him, like, watching this footage with them from the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And I think they were like, ooh, that's good. Let's put that in our show. Let's just rip that scene one-to-one and put it in our show, even though it has nothing to do with it, because that was something that people will remember, and it'll be like, oh, that was a real scary thing that happened, so it's going to make our thing scarier. And instead it just comes off as weird, because why is Juan recording your front door? A little bit weird, a little bit sketchy. But to no one's surprise, there's no one at the door. I didn't pick up anybody because...
Right. My paranoid wife, which guys. Sorry, get out of here.
Which, like, the problem for me now is this is where it did lock it up for me as, like, oh, no, it's just supernatural.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, for me, especially when the mystery is, like, someone's at your door and then they're not, totally killed by there's a ghost in the camera. Because, so, like, then there's just, like, an, like, it's a ghost. Yeah, it's a ghost. It can just do whatever.
I
like it.
Yeah. I like supernatural horror, but there's also something kind of, like, where you cock an eyebrow at, wait, so this tech thing that everyone's buying somehow has, like, supernatural powers. You know what I mean? This mass-produced, like,
yeah,
you know, which, and they'll get to that, which, oh boy, when they get to that. But,
oh, good grief.
Well, and then, yeah, of course, we all knew that it was ghosts. But yeah. Bryce immediately jumps to another conclusion. Would someone else like to explain it? Because it's fucking infuriating for me to do it.
Hacker. A hacker did it. A hacker did it.
Yeah.
Hacker. Hacker got into camera, wife. Wife. It was hacker. Hacker man get into camera.
A hacker doing a prank.
Create image. Yes, he do prank. Hacker do prank or do prank. He do prank where he put footage of Uncle Fester in front of your house going, hello, Jaslyn, my sweet Jaslyn.
Yeah. That
be in.
The hacker who knew your name and knew you would be there. Yeah, it's just great.
Also had footage of outside your house and then working knowledge of video mm-hmm. editing to splice in an Uncle Fester and the time and spare GPU to like render it out and then upload it to your camera. It was
hacker.
And that's already very frustrating that he says it's a hacker that does a prank, but I cannot emphasize enough that he doubles, triples, quadruples down on this throughout the episode. Every time a new thing happens, he's like, nope, hacker doing a prank. Obviously, you idiot. Like, this is obviously a hacker man doing a funny bit. And it gets more upsetting every time he does it. And he does it no less than six times throughout the runtime of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a comedy dumb guy level insistence of like, no, this is a hacker. You can't trick me. There's no ghosts. As like five ghosts like go in a circle being like, we're ghosts. We're going to kill you doing ghost stuff. And he's like, this is also a hacker doing.
Yeah.
Doing holograms.
It's the Monty Python parrot thing. But yeah, like, no, it's like a new thing every scene, which like, because then the next scene, of course, is like, you know, they're the next day they're watching TV and then. Wait, what is, I actually missed this part. Wait, he's like, you don't have to keep checking the app. And then how does he just drop this?
Well, she just kind of looks at her phone and he's like, you don't have to keep checking the app. You know, it was just a hacker. And she's like, oh, sorry. I thought I felt it buzz. And then he's like, let me bring up your trauma again. It feels like a good time to drop your trauma again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, damn, that's shitty of you. And she's like, so now because he has triggered her again, is like kind of like, well, now I need to justify my drama to my husband because he's super shitty. And she's like, okay, so I need to bring this up. It's not relevant to the plot, but I remember how they had the scene where we very explicitly see what happens to her. She explains it now and explains it wrong. She's like, I can't get the vision of the rabbit man out of my head and the sight of my parents tied up with ropes in their mouths. That didn't happen. So at this point, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, like, the plot twist is going to be that she's actually doing all this. And, like, maybe she killed her parents. Like, she can't keep her story straight. So maybe the plot twist is going to be that, like, all of this is actually being orchestrated by Jaslyn.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of credit you're willing to give.
Yeah, well, right.
That's very noble
of
you.
It's because she delivers this information so incredibly incorrectly.
Right?
The simple information that I'm like, oh, so it's wrong. So that we need to notice as the audience that there's a huge discrepancy here because
it is in fact so messed up you would think it is information, but
right,
no, they
yeah.
just fucked up.
Yeah,
no,
100%.
They just filmed it after and didn't think, yeah, it's just
yeah. Like because A, remember, she covered her head up. She didn't see shit. She didn't see anything because she covered
her
head up.
It was in another room.
It was in another room. And also her mom fucking screamed before getting shot. So they definitely didn't have anything in their mouth. I thought it was going to be a plot point. Like, oh, Jaslyn actually is just an unreliable narrator and she's actually behind all this. No.
Oh, also, by the way, Bryce mentions in the last scene when she's talking about checking the phone that he put out a bait block.
Oh my God. Yeah.
like out in the wild in nature, which isn't, that's a fucked up thing to do. Don't just put poison animal traps in the wild. Like those are for very specific applications that are supposed to be very localized.
Oh, Ty, like, you can't just exterminate animals like however you want and just do whatever.
No, huh. That's a sign that you're going to turn into a serial killer. Ah. Is what that is. That's a wild disregard for life. Because he just puts a bait block out and apparently just fucking killed every raccoon in a 3 kilometer radius. And she's like, "You did what?" He's like, "Yeah, I just put it out there. You know, I gotta take it. You know, I gotta do what gotta be done. That's my one character trait. I'm a doer."
And like, it doesn't explain why he doesn't even do it to be like, "I did it for you, so that you wouldn't be scared by a raccoon again." He's just like, "No, I just wanted to kill some raccoons, actually."
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I'm a huge
just
piece
poisoned,
of shit.
I just poisoned. And like, he's shitty about it later too, because like, he makes like a passive joke about it in a very like gaslighty way. He's like, "Oh, I guess because I'm a raccoon poisoner, right?" And I'm like, "I hate you. Perish." Mm-hmm. I hate this man. Like,
it's not even like someone you're like, "I can't wait till you die in the horror story." It's just like, "I wish you weren't here." You know, like, I don't even care about you dying. Yeah. Like,
I assumed he was going to have a villain turn from the second he showed up. And like, just straight up by the time he does have it, I very much was like, "God, I wish I could just mute you on Twitter, man."
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wish I could do.
Awful.
I wish this character could, like, I don't even want to see you get owned. I just want to, I don't want to see you.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely that. But
so he gaslights her into admitting that she didn't actually see Uncle Fester. And then it's the next day. And then it goes off again. And it's nighttime. And Uncle Fester's at the door again. And she shows him because he's home this time, because he hears the app go off. So she's not imagining it. He acknowledges that the app goes off and he goes, "Who's that?" And then she shows him, "Hey, look, Uncle fucking Fester's at the door." And he's like, "That's weird." He's like, "Oh, that's him?" And, like, he doesn't even act like it's an issue. He's just like, "Oh, that's the dude that was at the door? Sick. Let me talk to him." And then he's like, "What do you want?" And then, like, he just does the weird Uncle Fester thing where he starts singing and asking him to come inside. So, again, we are establishing that Bryce sees this person at the door. And all of them just decide to talk through the phone instead of just, like, dealing with it. Eventually, I don't even remember what the catalyst is, but Bryce does get upset with Uncle Fester and grabs the iron poker from the fireplace.
It's because he's talking to him over and over, and he just doesn't respond. And then Jazlyn says like one thing, and he goes, "Oh, my sweet Jazlyn!" And then he like goes and grabs the poker, and is like, "I'm gonna fucking kill him."
Yeah. goes to fuck him up, and Jazlyn's like, "Maybe don't do that. We should call the police." And then instead of doing that, Bryce calls Juan for some reason, and is like, "Look at your cameras right now." And Juan's gaming, but he's like, All right, buddy, anything for you. Love you, bro. And then pulls it up and is like, "Nope, nobody's at your front door, homie." And then he's like, "Sick."
Can you imagine, too, like, how good your AV setup is? Just like, "Hey, I know you're doing something on your TV right now. Can you just switch your security camera?" Sure, you just hit the input button and it's, like, there. And it's their front door.
He is always watching these people's house. There is not a moment that goes by that Juan is not watching these people's house.
Gotta do something in the lobby, yeah.
And then immediately Bryce is like, well, I guess there's no one there then. As if he wasn't just talking to Uncle Fester through their Ring app. Like, he's like, hacker is hacker, I guess. Again, he decides that this is when Bryce decides that it's a hacker who's pranking them, like, for sure. and then Jazlyn's like, "Bro, you heard him banging on the door." Yeah. And Bryce is like, "Nope, Lamau, hacker." And then it's just like this. He says this verbatim, by the way. Says this fucking verbatim. Goes, "This is the dumbest." And then walks away. I'm like, "You heard a man knocking on your door. What are you talking about? This is a hacker. I hate you." Oh, my God. I like the hacker also programmed the doorbell to knock on your door, too. I hate this man. Then it's the next day.
Hacker has hacked my door as well.
He drops a little passive aggressive thing. He's like, obviously, Jaslyn, it's a hacker. Look up like crazy aura footage online and you'll see this tons of this stuff happening.
I love this scene because it was written by someone who not only doesn't know pranks but has never watched YouTube or anything. But sorry, Eck. But yeah, it's because it's like she looks up crazy aura pranks, and this is not like a prank per se, because it's just some guy at the Ring doorbell is just like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, I'm gonna cut your head off, cut you into pieces, and just goes on and on, and that's it. Like,
let me in.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill you with a knife and a bazooka.
Yeah,
it's not like funny prank. It's like, oh, this is a person being harassed,
yeah,
and intimidated and threatened. That's not what a prank is.
To the point. I cannot express enough. There, she is watching this man on an aura doorbell, like very, very adamantly threatening the safety of the person inside. And Bryce overhears this.
Before you say that, I just want to say what Bryce's reaction is. What goes, you know what? This is a good episode to recommend to Ty and Liz for the bonus. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is where I really started activating my own almonds here, because he hears this like person who is very clearly threatening bodily harm to the person inside, and he's like, what are you watching, honey? And she's like, oh, this is like aura footage, and like this woman was being threatened. And he goes, sounds like a prank if I've ever heard one.
That's hilarious.
What are you talking about, you weirdo? How is that
and
a
he,
prank?
Like, Beef was that's not so being hyperbolic. Funny. This guy is literally saying, like, I'm going to cut your head off and fuck the throat hole. Like, he's saying he's very like, fucked up stuff.
That's just like a Family Guy.
And like, Jaslyn has, like, the normal person response of being like, well, no, it's not a prank. This woman, like, had the same experience we're having where, like, this person wasn't showing up on the aura, but, like, they kept showing up at their house. And then eventually, it is a person was arrested. A man was arrested. Like, this was a real crime. That was a real thing that happened. Like, a man escaped from a local mental institution and was arrested. And Bryce is like,
it's so funny.
What a good prank.
That's so funny, honey. Like, that's so good.
It's almost good like prank. Some horrible, like, dark comedy sketch where, like, he's, like, on some website and someone gets stabbed. He's like, pranked, got him. You know, like, these aren't pranks, Bryce. This is
awful.
Do you
think this is maybe, like, Winter's, like, extended cousin? Like, very extended family?
Maybe.
Like, on their dad's side or something? Like, well, this is how they're connected.
Don't spoil all of Cult. But, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, you got me there. He says the most nauseating thing. He says a lot of nauseating things, but he's like, I reset the password and for the Wi-Fi, so we're not going to see that hacker again. I'll bet you a blowjob that we'll never see that man again. And I'm like, snort broken glass and die, Bryce. I hate you more than any human being that's ever existed. Like,
He doesn't care about his wife's insecurities at all. What a guy.
Yeah.
What a fella.
And like, just, again, if you guys are not watching this with us, like, you're just hearing us recount it, you'd probably think Bryce was like this kind of like Chad, like frat boy. No, he's like a weird, clean cut, like middle management guy. Like, he's just like a guy who like manages an office. Like, he's not like a bro. He's just like a shitty, clean-cut, middle America guy. Like, he's awful.
Just sucks.
He just sucks, like, really bad. He's not even, like, a caricature.
He's just, like, he's, like, a wiener man with, like, Vinny Pizza Pasta, like, vibes.
Yeah.
He occasionally does the Vinny Ravioli, like, I just hate women, kind of thing.
Oh, my God. And then, like, Jaslyn's like, I had an epiphany, actually. I know who Uncle Fester is, which... I feel like it should have been addressed that Uncle Fester has known her name. Like, you feel like that would have been, like, a point of contention earlier, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he was my
janitor. Yeah, no one mentions that, huh? No one really goes, like, he knew my name.
Right?
That is kind of like,
yeah,
I didn't tell him my name. He just was at the door and started saying my name before I said anything to him.
And... it's never brought up.
Like, it's not like he's like someone like trying to convince people to vote with like a name of like a list of names or whatever. It was just like a guy.
Yeah.
Yep. And she didn't recognize him until now, which is weird because in the flashback where we get to meet him, he looks identical to how he did in the flashback.
Right? Down to the outfit. Never aged or anything.
Never aged, yeah. Just
never
same
got
hair.
A haircut.
Same hair, yeah. Same outfit, same person. He's like an anime character. He has one look, and then that's how he looks for the rest of the series. Mm-hmm. But she's like, yeah, it was the janitor from high school that was obsessed with me. Like, I used to jokingly, like, when in passing, be kind of shitty to him and be like, you look nice today, but he thought I was being serious. And he fell in love with me and was like obsessed with me.
Started leaving notes and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And like would say like, oh, my dear Jaslyn, and which is exactly what the guy at the door was saying, which isn't that weird. Is just kind of a phrase that many creepy people would use, but whatever. Right. And then she's like, there was a rumor he was institutionalized. And then Bryce again doubles down that it's a prank.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Damn, this hacker's good.
I know.
He knows your weaknesses. This is powerful hacker.
He knows all these things about your past and even the past of people in your school. Amazing. I gotta get this guy's number. Like, what the?
Like, even assuming this was a hacker, this still would mean the hacker was someone within,
yeah,
like, two classes of your wife, like in high school, right? Like, that's the window. Is it someone in that group?
Yeah,
so like
now
at this point, even if I think it's a hacker, I'm invested in the hacker mystery now.
Right.
Like, even if I like don't believe it, I'm just still like, oh shit, this is fascinating. Who could this be?
Yeah, this is no longer like harmless prank. This is someone who has like deep intimate knowledge of like your wife and clearly wants to cause her mental like harm.
Yeah,
like wants to harass her and maybe should still be dealt with. Like maybe if you think it's a hacker, maybe tell the police about that, because that's still an issue. Like, you're still compromised. Like, this is not like oh, it's funny pranks now. Like, no, you're being harassed over and over again.
Specific targeting, absolutely. But
bet you a blowjob.
Yeah, right.
Blowjob that he doesn't bother us. As if changing the Wi-Fi password would even have fixed it if it was a hacker. As if the hacker couldn't just figure out a new password that you
had. This dude knows email. He's set. He knows what he's doing. You know.
He knows how it should be
set
formatted.
For life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next day, so again, he dismisses it as being a funny prankster, and it's the next day, and Jaslyn's working on the Etsy stuff again. We even get a brief shot of her, like, seeing that some of her jewelry only has 10 views, and her being like, fuck. And for some reason, that's supposed to be relevant to us, but it's not. And then there is, I kid you not, the loudest jump scare in the world, where Uncle Fester appears in the computer screen reflection. Unclear if that's just to fuck with us, the audience, because they explain the ghost rules later, and that's not part of them.
Right.
So I'm not sure if she just hallucinated that or if that was real. But it doesn't matter. We got a jump scare.
Yeah.
And
I think the implication is that it's like starting to get to her, but also like, okay, I guess. It didn't have to be that loud.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
I'm assuming she imagined it because she doesn't bring it up to anybody and instead does the rational thing of driving to that guy's sister's house.
Well, nobody's helping her, so I kind of at least feel for like, all right, well, I'm like alone, clearly. My husband isn't going to do shit. The police isn't going to do shit. Juan is watching 24/7 but doesn't see shit. So, she's like, I'm going to do some investigation.
I'm going to go to this person's sister's house that she somehow found. And when she goes to the door, she's like, sorry, I came to your house. I couldn't find a phone number. And I'm like, you couldn't find a phone number, but you found his sister's house address? Weird. The sister's fucking weird as shit. It's just a weird interaction. I think they wanted it to be creepy, but it wasn't. It was just painfully awkward because she's just like weird and quiet and acting super cagey about her brother for really no reason, because as far as we know, he didn't like do anything wrong. Like, he was just like a mentally unstable guy who misinterpreted the comments of a student at the high school. Then she's like, she being Jaslyn is like, hey, do you know where your brother is? I work for the school and we're doing a reunion and we'd love for him to come.
Yeah, alumnus,
and
all that, yeah.
She's being, faculty, like, the sister's being super weird and just, like, not answering. And then she's like, oh yeah, no, I don't know where he is. After like an hour, she's like, oh, I don't know where he is actually. Then she drops some weird info of him being like real into computers all the time. And I'm like, not what I would have assumed from Uncle Fester's character, I guess.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, I remember this and being like, oh, did he find a way to transmute himself into a yeah. digital ghost?
Right,
is this
yeah.
like, is he going to lawnmower man? Like, what's going on here? And
because, by the way, this isn't relevant. Him being super wildly into computers, not relevant at all, as it would turn out. Has nothing to do with anything.
Ends up being nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ends up being nothing. Didn't even think about it. They really hammer this in, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be something.
Because she checks out his old room, which, like, wait, he lives with his sister and he has an old room? Like, what does that work? And he has his shoebox, right? And, like, there's, like, one picture that's left of him. And she's like, yeah, that's him. And, of course, it's Uncle Fester, you know.
And, like, he has, like, action figures and stuff on shelves and, like, memorabilia. And they're trying to be, like, whoa, isn't it creepy? He's got memorabilia. And I'm like, you have no idea how many dads I know who have fucking Gundam shelves. Like, it's just... it's not a thing anymore. Yeah. Sorry, American Horror Story. Yeah, like
it was
turns out a lot of doors. Like, oh no, he's got Star Wars collectibles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so does like 35% of the male population in the United States. Like, fucking whatever, man.
I just checked the pajama shirt I'm wearing right now. Unfortunately, it's not. But you know, there was a very non-zero chance that it was my Star Wars.
My hoodie just says I will never reveal the Wu-Tang secret, which is true.
Like, and the thing is that they do such like a heavy-handed job of trying to frame this as being creepy somehow, and it's like, no, nothing about it is creepy. It just doesn't make sense. You showed us a weird, like, greasy old man who was a janitor, and now you're like, he was also Hacker Man who had many, many baseball cards and also action figures for some reason, and like, doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Means nothing. Doesn't have anything to do with the plot. So showing us that means nothing. But she recognizes
him. So she gets a little photo, and that's the only photo she has, and that's it. The resolution of the scene is confirmation that yes, he existed and he looks like this, and also he's missing and he could be Hacker. Jaslyn explains this to Bryce, who immediately goes, oh well, sounds like you found your Hacker.
Yeah.
Which, the problem is, that does mean it is someone who is actively stalking you. So on top of being a hacker, they are clearly someone who is stalking your wife actively with intent to harm. Like, hey.
But it's a funny prank is the thing. If he pulls it off and hurts her, then hey, that's a good one.
And if he does it and then he says it, he is just joking, then they can't arrest him. That's the rules.
Yeah, that's prank law.
Yeah, it's prank law.
This guy's like big on hustle culture. Yeah. So the camera then immediately goes off, and it's Dale, also known as Fester, also known as the original Spooky King. He's at the door again, and yeah, he's just like, "Hey, let me in, please. I think that would be sick if you would let me in." And then she's like, "You know what? Fine, man. I know who you are now. Fine. Whatever."
Oh, by the way, Bryce is not with her. Bryce was on the phone. She's alone at this point. This is important. Yeah. She's alone at this point. And she's on the phone with Bryce. And then Bryce is an asshole and she hangs up. And then Uncle Fester's at the door again. And she's like, fuck it. I'm opening the door.
Yeah, which, to be fair, I mean, that is better than what Bryce would have done. Like, which is nothing. And left. But yeah.
And then there's no one at the door. And there's a little bit of a spooky wind. And she turns around and, oh, he actually spawned in behind you.
Yeah.
And so then he explains in the creepiest way possible, like, this man truly, truly cannot operate in a way that isn't fucked up to behold. Like, lurches over to her and goes, I just wanted you to know I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is so, like, bad. I hate this.
It isn't good. It isn't, like, a good thing to say, either. Like, they act like someone saying they're sorry is immediately, like, a cause for relief. But what if he's like, I'm sorry for how much I'm going to enjoy eating your guts.
Yeah.
That is how it leads up. Like, you don't understand. He spawns in behind her, and he's like, well, I guess I have to apologize. And she's right? like, oh, apologize for what? And because I guess my like my female instincts are like, yeah, he's gonna murder you. He's gonna murder you.
100%.
And she's like, what are you sorry?
It's a horror story.
That's not a feminine thing. That's human nature. That's like having any awareness of danger whatsoever. Someone apologizing to you mysteriously after being required to follow ghost law to get into your house.
Yeah,
like,
no.
As soon as someone had to engage with ghost law, you fucked up. You engaged with ghost law. You made a mistake.
Which, by the way, ghost law here is that you have to open the door for some reason for them to come inside. So they play by like vampire rules, I guess.
Because
he says that he goes, you just had to open the door, Jaslyn. You just had to open the door and let me in. But now I'm sorry, Jaslyn. And she's like, well, what are you sorry for? Like, she's very clearly scared now. And he goes, well, I'm sorry for... I'm sorry for lying to you.
Yeah, he's like, I was kind of a creep in high school, you know. I convinced myself
well,
I loved.
Is, I'm sorry, yeah. I lied to you.
Oh, that's right.
Then, you know, of course, means like, oh, you lied about just needing to be inside, and then you wouldn't do anything harmful. Like that's what the lie. And then he goes, oh, I lied because actually I have to apologize to you. Like it is literally a bit of a guy trying to lead up in as many ways as he can say, I'm going to kill you.
Yep.
And then after like number five, just pivoting into, oh no, actually I'm quite sorry. Sorry. I made you very uncomfortable in high school. You were being a little rude to me and, you said some kind of nice things on occasion. And I took it the wrong way and I'm sorry about that. And, I definitely did some creepy shit, and I apologize for that. Okay, bye-bye.
But you can tell he hasn't grown as a person because he did that in the creepiest way possible. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah.
He's like, I made you feel unsafe and scared, and I'm like, my brother in Christ, you are being 20 times worse right now than you were in the high school. Maybe rethink your methods, because you are actually being 100 times worse at this current moment in time. Yeah. But the fun part is that he gives all that info, and she's like, oh, shit, okay, well, I mean... That's fine. Water under the bridge. And then he starts, you know, as you would expect for the next thing.
And then she goes, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, too. I was kind of an asshole in high school. I'm sorry. That's partially on me. Like, I was being rude. I shouldn't have messed around like that. I'm sorry as well. Which, like, can I just say, Jaslyn, wow, huge moment. That's, wow, wait. Like, being the bigger person in the face of a ghost apologizing to you is, like, that's some...
We should be clear, Jaslyn does not know this is a ghost. By the way, she doesn't know this is a ghost yet. She doesn't know a ghost until tomorrow. But she thinks this is a man in her house right now.
I feel like she must like have some idea something's weird with this, but like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she doesn't know it's a ghost.
If she didn't up until now, she definitely does, because when she apologizes, he starts bleeding from his eyes and then gets Thanos snapped.
He 1000% gets Thanos snapped. That's like...
He turns to dust and blows away.
Yeah. It is, and she's like huh. Not even. Yeah.
She's like, oh, this is normal. All right. Well, bye.
I thought, too, when she was like, you know what? I was also kind of mean to you. I thought that would be like the turn like you were what? Oh, I'm a mad ghost now. And that would be the horror starting. But yeah, it's just like it's still just like, well, yeah, here's some people apologizing. Yeah.
And Jaslyn in her first maybe confusing moment of okay, so they both don't want to be married then, apparently just doesn't feel the need to explain to Bryce that she performed an exorcism today.
Right, yeah, it's great because
she goes as far as to like almost keep it a secret, because she's watching the next day or later that day, I have no idea. She's watching the news, and there's a report on the news conveniently that Dale/Fester's body was found in a lake and he had actually killed himself. Mm-hmm. She doesn't mention any of this to Bryce for some reason. She's just like, nah.
Bryce is, you'd think they'd even like throw Bryce a bone and being like, oh my God, wasn't that the guy in the, or nah, you know, whatever.
Nope. And in fact, he's just joking again about it. And then there's now there's more motion at the front door, because you would think that it was resolved, but it's not. But now it's just some lady we've never seen before. And she's like, I'm scared and I don't know where I am. And of course, like, obviously, if it wasn't obvious already, it's very obvious that their camera just sees ghosts, I guess. And guess what Bryce thinks this is? I'll give you one guess what Bryce thinks this is.
I'm so scared.
sick of hacker, wife. Wife, we've given too much time of day to this hacker. I'm taking camera off door, putting it in trash. Hacker bother us no longer.
I changed the Wi-Fi password. There's nothing left. Come here, Aura. Yeah, and he pulls it off and, yep, throws it away. Ridiculous.
He's very mad. He's very mad online about it. And then some undisclosed time in the future.
Bryce just shaking his head. I don't know what the structure of the video is at this point. Like, what kind of prank are they doing? How much footage do they need? Wow.
I liked when that guy Dale pranked himself in the lake or how that worked. That was a good one. But this is weird. Like,
yeah. By the way, the ghost lady at the door is like, the last thing I remember was being at this very specific park, and now I'm here. So, like, it's supposed to be like a lost ghost, I'm assuming, is what they us to think. I guess this means the ghost is lying.
We're borrowing a little bit of the Sixth Sense and mixing it with our ring eye kind of, you know, combination here. So,
yeah, we ran out of horror mechanics, so we decided to shoehorn this one in as well. But all ghosts can locate this aura camera and can teleport to it and can communicate through it. So I guess that Jaslyn the next day decides to go to the ghost lady's park to see what's that about, and decides to Google that lady's name while she's there. Instead of just Googling it at home, she went to the actual park, which served no purpose whatsoever. And then she finds out that lady was killed in a hit and run accident. So obviously she's a ghost. And this is where it's very odd. The character Jaslyn makes a enormous leap in any kind of like problem solving or any kind of like information gathering, and makes an enormous leap in judgment here, because she storms in the house and she's like, who is this woman, Bryce? Like, ghosts are real, first of all. Ghosts are real.
Sorry, I should have led with that.
Bryce, I assume you're on board with ghosts are real, because I did an exorcism, and we're married, so you have to be cool with that. Okay, now that we've established ghosts are real, I did an exorcism, we're married, there's a ghost here, and based on my pattern of one, if a ghost comes to your door, it's because it has business with you specifically.
Killed me.
I don't know who this lady is, Bryce. So time to talk. Time to tell me what this lady's got to do.
She is showing him the photo of the woman. Like, who is this, Bryce? Like, convinced that Bryce knows this person. As like, who is it, Bryce?
You know this boy.
I know.
And for she never really explains it either, because like she reads an article that this woman was killed in a hit and run, and they have arrested the man who did it, and he's in jail for the crime. But she is still like 100% convinced that the ghost has business with Bryce for some reason. It's not like the guy was a friend of his and she recognized him. It's not that he used to spend a lot of time at the park when they were younger. Like, she has minus percent reason to think that Bryce has any connection to this woman whatsoever. But she's like, I know how ghost rules work now, because I did an exorcism last night. I know for a fact the ghost didn't even like say, like, at least Fester was like, Jaslyn, ooh, Jaslyn.
Yeah. This lady didn't show up at the door and is just like, Bryce, you owe me child support. Bryce. Like, it wasn't anything.
She has no reason. I don't know if they took out a scene or what, but there is no reason Jaslyn should be this convinced.
Did we go over the YouTube video, which explains how the ghosts work? Or
that is in the middle of the accusation.
Oh, in the middle. Okay, got it.
It is in the middle of her accosting Bryce about this, because she's like, well, it's not a hacker, Bryce, because here's this video of this kid on YouTube who has emojis in his thumbnail, who explains that aura cameras pick up ghost activity all the time. It's like a problem that a lot of people have to deal with, Bryce.
He's like,
because they have EM detectors in them, and EM is what ghosts are, to which I say, EM is electromagnetism, which is like it's like a lot of radiation. It's just a lot of it. Like a lot of electricals.
I'm afraid I have two counterpoints to you, Ty. One is phasmophobia clearly has an EMF reader. And the second is the guy in the YouTube video does say the word quantum somewhere in a sentence while explaining it. So it's like, the quantum realm.
I've noticed American Horror Story does seem to like to use quantum, or I imagine they will continue to use quantum as their nano machines to get out of things. They'll be like, it was a quantum ghost, and it's like, oh shit, well, okay, now it makes sense.
Oh my god. So she shows him that YouTube video in the middle of this altercation, and then she's like, by the way, I let Uncle Fester in the house. He was a ghost, and he apologized, and then he got Thanos snapped, so that's how all ghosts work. I don't know.
And Bryce has, like, a kind of reasonable reaction of just like, you let him in? What? Yeah. He was a ghost? What? Like, wait, this is a lot to level at me right now. Yeah. Also, I'm being a cop. Like, they managed to make Bryce have, like, one kind of reasonable moment right before he's about to get owned. Like, they mistimed everything about this character.
And then, by the way, in case you were wondering, I know we already said it, but no, like, the Uncle Fester character was never wearing the bunny mask or anything. Like, that was never an issue.
In fact,
just forget that she has childhood trauma, because it actually has no effect on this whatsoever.
Yeah, we're past that part of the story.
Yeah, that part has actually nothing to do with the story at all. So she's like, I let him in, and then he got Thanos snapped and bled from his eyeballs for some reason. And that's just what ghosts do when you apologize to them. So you need to apologize to this ghost. Also, what did you do to her? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's just like, I'm just going to keep asking you until you tell me. And then he's like, no. And then she's like, well, I'm going to open the door then for the ghost lady. And he's like, ah, fuck, ghosts are real. And then he starts to, like, admit to all this stuff. And he's like, it was my fiance. And I'm like, well, you acted when you saw her on the camera like you didn't recognize that as your fiance. Like, you talked to the ghost.
Well, it's because he was covering up for his terrible crime that he already has been. Mm-hmm.
He's been, like, caught, even though he hasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then, again, she opens the door because these ghosts play by vampire rules and must be invited inside. And the ghost is holding a huge-ass baby, like a massive baby.
For what it's worth, he explains that it was his fiance, and he still feels guilt about it because they were fighting in a park over something. He claims it was because, like, he wasn't ready, and she wanted to move on to something more. So she eventually said, like, whatever, I'll walk home, and he drove off without her and just left her in the park, and then she got hit in the hit and run. That is his retelling of the story.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't worry, it'll be invalidated in two paragraphs from now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, actually, that is before she opens the door, because she's like, oh, fine, it was my fiance. He gives all that exposition. And then she's like, I don't believe you for some reason, so I'm going to open the door for the ghost lady. And then she...
And he's, like, kind of, like, crying and breaking down, by the way, while he's giving... Like, he is clearly affected by this. And her reaction is, sorry, I solved the ghost riddle, which means I'm now omniscient for the rest of the episode. So I know you're full of shit.
Yep. And she opens the door to, I guess, let the ghost fuck him up or something. And then, like, he has this, like, weird little temper tantrum. Like, he's a toddler. He goes, I'm so sleepy. I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed.
I know.
And I'm like, a ghost just got let in your house. The fuck are you talking about? The next 5 minutes is just me going, what the fuck are you talking about, Bryce? Because he's like, I'm so sleepy. Don't make the ghost come in here. And then the ghost is like, hello, here's a huge baby. And then he's like, oh, fine. I was also there when she got hit by the car, and I didn't want to have the baby because, ooh, babies.
Yeah. And they were, apparently that's it. They were fighting about it. And instead of, like, you know, working something out, which is something adults can do, or, like, you know, splitting up and then doing something. Again, like, there are ways that this problem can be handled. And so what he does is he's, like, fighting her and getting violent, which, first of all, if your first reaction to hearing a woman is pregnant is to, like, get into a physical altercation with her, just go ahead and assume I said some things that I later had to cut out
from the episode
because they are too fucked up to say and could land me in jail.
But here's the,
Seriously. And then he literally, like, grabs her and Super Mario throws her into the next lane as a truck comes by and slams into her.
Don't worry, she's not dead, though, yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because then all of a sudden he's
He's,
like, watching, and then it's like, oh, she's still alive. And then, like,
And the biggest thing, he's like, wait a minute. Because she's like, right? It's like all kind of moving around all messed up. And he's like, I got to make sure this baby's not getting out of here alive. Because then he like steps on her neck and basically like chokes her to death. And here's the thing. Maybe this plot line would work if he was like some high level executive and like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something about his career that would have been fucked up with a baby, which, by the way, like, or, like, he's a teenager or something, but there is no, and even in those other
He's an emails guy.
Yeah.
He should be happy to have a kid. He seems like the exact kind of guy who would want to have his first kid, straight up.
There,
like,
yeah. There is.
It doesn't make sense. Also, hey, if we mentioned the implication that if you die while you're pregnant, you have a ghost baby.
Yeah, you have a fully grown. Because she is telling him in the scene where she gets murdered, she is telling him she just found out she's pregnant. So it's not like she's like 9 months pregnant. She is like, oops, I missed my period. Like,
yeah.
We don't even have a fetus at this point. Like, the fact that American Horror Story is like, if you are pregnant and an egg gets fertilized, that's a grown-ass baby. It felt really weird and gross. I didn't really like the, like, underlying statement that was made here.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of implications there that I don't particularly
so
like.
I'm going to defend American Horror Story here and say they are way too incompetent to have made that statement on purpose. That
no,
is a million.
No,
I know.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not implying malice here. Like, I want to be clear. This is 100% ignorance.
Okay,
this,
yeah.
This like, whole in segment, like the last 10 minutes of the episode, especially with the way that now the murder ghost is about to go about, like, her speech withholding the baby and whatnot, it could have one-to-one been made by, like, a pro-life, like, religious organization as, like, anti-abortion propaganda, but I think the American Horror Story writers are so just out of touch with reality, they didn't even have like somebody mention that to them. They were the crew that was like editing was probably like, well, they probably meant this then. Like, they probably meant it to look like this. They didn't even think about how it would come across. It's just, it's hard to explain if you didn't watch the episode, but I think everybody can agree that like it really had a weird fucking vibe.
It's weird.
They wanted to make, like, it's trying to, like, pressure him and make him feel bad about an unborn child in a way that's weird. And it could have just been about the wife wanting to get married and maybe settle down and stuff, and about how he didn't want to do that. Like, there's so many ways they could have done this that would have been better.
She cheated on him, and he was like a fit of anger thing, and he like knows he shouldn't have done it, but whatever. But like, what it is too, like, I think they're trying to like try to close a plot hole in the sense that like, since she's holding a baby, Jaslyn's supposed to be like, I know there's more to this story that you're not telling me, but there's so many other like plot things that don't work in this, like, I can't possibly imagine that's why. Or it's like, why did you try to fix that and not everything else? Like,
well, either way, after all of this is explained, Bryce goes, ah, fuck this, this isn't part of the plan according to Tony Robbins. I'm gonna go grab my fireplace poker and kill my wife. And so he goes to do that. For the record, current wife, not previous fiance. Like, he's like, I'm not going to kill a ghost. That's ridiculous. But I am going to kill my wife. Here I go. And as he's going to kill his wife, apparently the other ghost goes, hey, that time that guy Thanos snapped himself, turns out ghosts can do that to real people. Check it out. And then Bryce explodes.
Bleeds from the eyes first and then explodes, because that's what ghosts do, is they first bleed from the eyes and then explode in Thanos snap fashion. Those are ghost rules. And then they're like, all right, well,
it's so funny. Like, I was like, okay, cool, she's gonna definitely like kill him at some point, but I assumed it would be like a spooky ghost murder. But no, he's just kind of like, I'm choking, and then he just turns into dust.
Yep.
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And so it's like, at this point, I'm like, oh, well, shit, that means ghosts can do physical harm. Now him being a ghost is going to be an issue, because believe me, I don't even think that Ty understands, because he hasn't seen some of the bullshit in season one of American Horror Story, the bullshit they go through with ghosts who can do physical harm to human beings and that reoccurring cycle. They use that plot point again in this show, and they're like, oh, well, now he can probably hurt Jaslyn as well.
I feel like the Ring camera thing kind of threw the AHS canon stuff, like, kind of threw a loop here. But, like, yeah, I don't. This is a nightmare, this show.
Yep.
Because, yeah. And then, finally, let's see here. Yeah, that's right. So then,
and now it's 3 months later.
Yeah. And Jaslyn's not in trouble or anything for her husband just disappearing, I guess, whatever. And, you know, maintenance guy installed her camera, and she's like, I didn't tell you, what the hell?
She solved the ghost riddle, Slowbee. We've been over this. She already solved the ghost riddle, which means she's omniscient, which means when the cops came, she was like, well, I solved the ghost's riddle and explained it, and all the cops went, okay, so that's what happened. And then they were like, okay, that's fine.
Juan comes over like, no, she did. I had it. I have it. I have it on recording. Yep. Don't worry.
I got it on my camera, which did see it for some reason this time.
Now I gotta go by. Whoop.
Yep. It's because there was a ghost baby there. That means my camera can actually pick it up because ghost babies are on a different frequency than regular ghosts. So.
Yeah. Different EM range
on
the babies.
My quantum camera got it, anyhow.
But she's like moved into her own apartment and is making Etsy jewelry again. That's important to show us, I guess, for some reason, even though it's not like closure or anything. And then the maintenance guy's like, I installed your Aura camera. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, everybody has one. It helps with insurance costs. And I'm like, I don't think this shitty ass apartment complex is paying for everyone to have a $200 Aura camera.
No.
Not in a million years, actually. And then as soon as he leaves, like the millisecond he's out the door, she gets a notification on her phone, which is not how that works, by the way. You don't just get access to any Ring camera with your Ring app. Like, that would be pretty fucked up. That's not how that works. And surprise, surprise, it's shitty ass Bryce, who's like, I'm here to fuck up my wife as a ghost. But luckily, ghosts can only be let in the house if you allow them to be.
Who's got two eyes, two thumbs, one eye, is a ghost and loves blowjobs. Hey,
it's me, Vinny Ravioli.
He's just like, hey, I want to talk to you. I just want to talk about it. I just want to talk. And she goes, I saw you get murdered by a ghost because you murdered her. I'm not letting you in. And he goes, oh, come on, just let me in. I'll just be out here till you let me in.
And then the kitchen nightmares noise plays, and it is fucking batshit insane. During that exact exchange, the kitchen nightmares noise plays, which if you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly the noise. It also plays on Shark Tank, the meow noise when someone really fucks up on kitchen nightmares. That noise plays. That exact noise, one-to-one plays. And Bryce is like, let me in. I'm a creepy little murder ghost now. And then that's
again,
the end of the episode.
Imagine if they had it instead. How much more interesting and at least like horror. I feel like it would be more aesthetically pleasing to like my genre sense. If it was like she looked at the phone and it was a guy in a rabbit mask. And then after banging on the door a bit, pulled off and it was Bryce. Because then it would be like, oh, it was Bryce. Bryce was he was all of it.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't make sense. But like at least it'd be like, it'd be something.
It would like feel satisfying for that moment you didn't think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, oh,
it would make sense, but it would at least be like anything, which I feel like there's nothing.
Yeah.
I do wonder what happened though to Uncle Fester's ghost, because like if the lady ghost Mary was able to just Thanos snap a real boy, what happens if you get Thanos snapped as a ghost? Does he just go to like turbo ghost mode? Did he like ascend to a different plane of being a ghost?
Yeah,
because
that was the thing.
Because Bryce got snapped and he became a ghost.
Yeah, it seems like it was supposed to be like an ascension metaphor or something. You know, like achieving enlightenment, getting to move on, like that kind of, you know, like a very traditional part of a ghost story.
Maybe not the bleeding
on
from the eyes, but the other part. Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? Is the visuals? Yeah, exactly. The visuals and the animation of him moving on did not meet the idea of him moving on peacefully. Like, it wasn't like, I apologized to her and she apologized back, which means, like, it was fully understood.
Oh, wait.
She legitimately believes my apology. That's the only way she would apologize back. All right, I feel weightless. Time to float into heaven or whatever. No, it was time to cry blood, fall on the ground, and turn into a pile of dust.
You know what it is? No, I got it. So what happens is he's like, I can move on. She's like, I have to apologize to you. I didn't really like you. I was making fun of you. He goes, oh, no. And then, like, Thanos snaps himself. Like, I shit the this whole time. I thought
I've been owned.
The ultimate corn cobbing from beyond the grave.
Oh my god. Like I just like to, I would like to think that he got turned into ghost squared, because like if being Thanos snapped as a human makes you bleed from the eyes and turn into a ghost, then
ooh,
getting Thanos
snapped.
Does that
mean he can Thanos snap Bryce? Is part two gonna be Jaslyn needs to team up with a double ghost to snap Bryce?
Time out! Wouldn't it have been so much better too if the janitor ghost is what killed Bryce and like saved her then?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been worked better, too. They chose the worst possible ending here.
They literally could have done so much with the janitor character. They could have had him be the one who murdered her parents. They could have had him be literally anything. Instead, they were like, no, he's...
They could have had him be, yeah, like, a payoff of her being willing to apologize to him and be honest. And then, you know, he comes back and, yeah, kills Bryce in the ghost
also,
zone.
Also, apparently...
Goes, sorry, Jaslyn, have a nice night. And just, like, walks off. Like, that could be something.
Yeah.
No.
And apparently ghost rules also indicate that it is first come, first serve, like finders keepers rules, because Mary was considerate enough to wait until Uncle Fester was done haunting the house to then show up and start haunting the house. She was willing to wait her turn for that to be resolved before she showed up with the baby ghost.
I'm glad there's a queue like a video game. It can only really handle one request at a time.
Like now serving, but then it's in Roman numerals because it's evil and ghost-like.
So, why was he good at computers?
Well, why was he in the story? It's like a 30-minute red herring. Like, yeah. So long, and he's just like, sorry about that. Anyway, now the next ghost,
so, yeah,
the more plot-relevant ghost. Sorry.
If it's not clear based on the way we're talking, that was the end of the episode.
Yep.
Was Bryce banging on the door and yelling at Jaslyn, and Jaslyn going, oh no, I can never leave my apartment ever again lest I get Thanos snapped by my shitty husband. Yeah, because it really does feel like the bad ending in like a PS1 horror game. Like you don't have all the stuff, and so you just got the ending where it just shows her about to be murdered, and then it tells you need to get all 7 Chaos Emeralds and come back.
Or, or just get rid of the camera, I guess, even though that shouldn't matter, and like it should help you, but it seems like it didn't happen until... I don't know.
Also, yeah, are the ghosts already there? Like, if they right. didn't have the camera and he just opened the door one night, would he just have fallen to the ground and poofed into dust and been like, oh, shit, I wish I knew why this was happening.
No,
oh, well.
It's vampire rules. You have to open the door and also be like, come inside my house. Otherwise, this wouldn't make any sense. So the ghosts are also vampires. So Uncle Fester is now a double ghost and a vampire.
So getting rid of the camera would totally solve
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because then she would just be able to open her door and leave whenever because she never acknowledged
yeah.
Grace.
He wouldn't even be able to show up with like a funny little hat and mustache and be like, I'm not a ghost. I'm not your ghost husband. I'm a delivery man. Like he couldn't even do that. Just get rid of the camera.
Okay, now you've introduced a very
Looney Tunesian
angle.
That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, that's way more fun. Because then it could be like a prank, right?
Yeah.
Then the prank angle would make more sense if like instead Uncle Fester showed up and he was like dressed as like a gardener and he had like a rake. He's like, I'm just here to help the petunias.
Candy gram for Jaslyn. Nice try, Bryce. Oh,
I'm here to fix the air conditioning.
Oh, you're writing that email all wrong. Darn it.
I know it's you, Bryce. I knew the formatting would get you. God, that episode sucked. Like,
yeah,
a lot.
It was bad.
Bad.
It was really bad.
Real bad.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for subscribing to the Patreon. Till next time, I suppose, where the fun thing is there's two seasons of this and y'all can just pick whatever.
Yeah.
And they're all, so they're not connected at all.
No,
huh?
nope, none.
There are exclusively two episodes that are, the other ones are not.
There's also like, some of them have like little, either they're little, like tiny kind of like, hey, this is a reference to season, like an American Horror Story season. And, so that sucks. Cause like, but like, usually they're just like, yeah, disconnected little stories.
Well,
there you go.
There it is, I suppose.
Happy Taste of Italy, Patreon.
Yeah, I can't believe we'll never get to get part two of the story of Jaslyn and the spooky doorbell. Till next time, folks.
Woo. Oh, man.